Hi, I'm Nelson Searcy, and I'm here to talk with you today about developing a one-year preaching calendar. And by the time you finish this audio recording, you're going to have a step-by-step process to plan your preaching, whether it's months in advance or even for an entire year in advance. I'm joined in the studio today by one of the teaching pastors that stands and preaches with me a lot here at The Journey, and his name is Carrick Thomas. And Carrick, you're certainly familiar with the audience that we're talking about today, but talk just a little bit about your involvement in preaching over the last few years at The Journey.
Well, it's been a lot of fun because you and I have worked together on the teaching team here, and through that it's been fun working together, tag teaming, and learning from each other. But we've also grown a lot in this area of planning our preaching in advance.
Yeah, and this has certainly been a growing area for me at The Journey as we've innovated some ways to plan our preaching and look at preaching together. Just to give you a little background on my preaching experience, I counted up this morning, and Carrick, I'm getting pretty old. I've been preaching now for over 13 years. And for many of those years, I was up just about every day of the week because I was involved in a ministry that some might call full-time evangelism, and I was teaching 5-6 days a week, traveling across the country. And then for the last number of years, I've been involved in local church ministry. And then here for the last 2 or 3 years, as we've started this new church in New York, you and I have been working together on the preaching, and it's been an interesting experiment to begin to develop a process for planning our preaching.
That's right. And you say, you always tell me you like working with me because I make you look so much better. So, I mean, I agree with you on that.
Well, you're going to hear today one of the principles that we believe in is not doing planning alone. And so we didn't want to do this recording alone. So Carrick is joining, and he's been part of this process and helping put some handles around how we go about developing our preaching. But, you know, a lot of us are involved in preaching. It's really an interesting thing that we do because you have to do it every 7 days. I have some friends who are in the motivational speaking business or in the professional speaking world, and they're like, Nelson, I only have to develop 1 or 2 speeches a year, and you have to develop one every week, and people expect a high level of quality. And what we've learned is that requires a lot of advanced planning.
Yeah, we found that the people at The Journey don't like it if we do the same message every week.
Well, I tell them I'm going to keep doing the same message until they start doing the message in their life. But nonetheless, we have to develop new content every week. And so today we're going to talk about that. And what we hope happens by the end of this recording is that you will have a calendar in front of you laid out month to month with some basic ideas of preaching, and that you'll learn some new strategies for maximizing certain times of the year in reaching people. And maybe that brings us to the idea of what is this thing called preaching anyway? I mean, after all, this was God's idea, the idea that a pastor, teacher would stand up and preach. Really, it's kind of a unique thing in our society. I mean, you don't find that anywhere outside of the church. So what is the purpose of preaching? Well, Carrick, I think to understand the purpose of preaching, you have to first understand the purpose of a Christian. What is God's goal for the Christian life?
Well, God wants us to become more like Christ. That's the reason we're alive, and that's everything that happens in our life is for that purpose, to make us become more and more like Christ, whether it's problems we face, whether it's circumstances or people. But that's also the number one goal of our preaching, to help people become more like Christ.
Yeah, and God's plan from the beginning is to call people to himself and then to grow them to become more and more like Christ Jesus. And God certainly does this through small groups. He certainly does this through problems in everyday life and, you know, living out your purposes. But one of the things that God uses to develop Christians is preaching. So what we believe, and what you're going to hear us talk about today, we believe that the primary purpose of preaching is to change lives. It's not just to share information, but it's to lead to life transformation.
Yeah, it's connecting God's truth to real lives in a way that leads to radical life transformation.
And so what we're going to look at today is how do you maximize preaching that changes lives. Now, certainly others have talked about this topic, and we don't want to try to replace this. This is just one audio recording, and many have talked about it. And one of the people that we've learned from in this area is Rick Warren. And I remember the first time I went out to California and I heard Rick teach about preaching for life change, and he did 2 days on this issue of preaching. And we're not trying to replace that, but I remember how radical it was that preaching is not just sharing information, but it's preaching for life transformation. And when you understand that, that you're preaching to help people become like Christ, that changes everything that you do when it comes to planning. So let's begin now by looking at how do you know that preaching is effective? Let's talk for a moment about what makes effective preaching. And the reality is, as preachers, we don't like to think a lot about whether or not we're effective. Or we tend to measure our effectiveness in strange kind of ways, like how excited we were in our preaching. Were we animated? Did we raise our voice? Or did people cry with our preaching? For me, people celebrate when I'm done. That way it's over on that. But how do you measure effective preaching? You've probably heard the old saying about, you know, he came through with 3 points and a cloud of dust. Well, was that effective or not?
And it's probably not determined by how many people come up to you after the message and say, you did a great job. They may just be feeling sorry for you.
Yeah, I found that most time when people tell me, good sermon, pastor, what they're really saying is, man, you gave it the good old college try today. You really tried, but you didn't really connect. So how do you really measure the effectiveness of your preaching? Because this is so key to the process we're going to teach you today on planning your one-year preaching calendar. Well, we talked earlier about how preaching is for life change, that you preach to change lives. And so how do you measure that? And around here at The Journey, we're pretty big on measuring things. We like to track the number of decisions that are made on Sunday, the number of first-time guests, all that that you've heard us talk about on other recordings. But we begin to think, how can you really track your preaching? And one day we read a little book by Michael Lewis called Moneyball. And Carrick on our staff is more of the sports expert than I am. I know almost nothing about sports. But I read this book on Moneyball, and he began to explain some of the intricate details of baseball to me.
If you're a New Yorker like we are, then you have to be a baseball fan. I think 95% of New Yorkers are Yankees fans, and then 5% maybe they pull for the New York Mets.
Well, I pull for the Yankees because they win.
That's right. Most people do. But you know a lot about baseball. If you go to a Yankees game, and if you follow baseball, you know that how do you determine the effectiveness of an offensive baseball team? Do you know that, Nelson?
By how many field goals they kick?
No, that's the wrong sport. You determine whether a baseball team is effective offensively by the number of runs they score. And there's a stat for that. It's called an RBI, runs batted in. And you know if an offensive team is effective by how many runs they batted in, by their RBIs.
So we begin to think about our preaching in terms of RBIs. You know, how do we move people around the bases? And obviously we're playing a little bit here with the baseball imagery of purpose driven, but whether or not you're familiar with that, you can think about that, helping people take steps, helping people run the distance to get around the bases. And so we came up with a little acronym of our own that's not RBIs, but how does that relate to preaching?
That's right. It's not RBIs, runs batted in. It's RTLs, radically transformed lives. And we measure the effectiveness of our preaching by how many RTLs that we see coming about at The Journey.
And so think about that term for just a minute, preaching for radical transformed lives. And what we notice on that is that when RTLs are happening, three things in the church are taking place. Just like on the baseball field, and Carrick, I'm going to surprise you with my knowledge here. You've got running, hitting, and catching on the field to get an RBI to happen. So when you get an RTL to happen in your church, three things must be happening. Now here we're going to move definitely over into the spiritual world and talk about what happens when we preach. Well, three things need to be taking place for RTLs to happen.
That's right. RTLs happen as people take the next step in their spiritual lives. And for that to happen, the first thing, unbelievers must be coming to your church on a regular basis.
Yeah, if you don't have a steady flow of unbelievers, and we've talked about this in other recordings, if you don't have a steady flow of unbelievers in your church, you're not even getting people up to bat. I mean, that's the runners on deck. That's the people who are about to step up to bat. So you've got to have unbelievers coming to your church on a regular basis. A good gauge, and you've heard me teach on this before, is you should have 5 unchurched people for every 95 church people in your church, or 5 first-time guests for every 100 regular attenders. That keeps a healthy church. Now, your goal is to improve that along the way, but you've got to have unbelievers coming to your church on a regular basis.
If you don't get people on base, you can't score runs. And the only way to get people to take the next step in their spiritual lives is to have unbelievers coming to your church.
And then the second thing that you need to have RTLs taking place, number one, unbelievers coming to your church. Number two, attenders must be introduced to a personal relationship with Jesus in creative ways. And so what you got there is once these unbelievers start coming, they become attenders, and then you give an opportunity for those attenders to become believers.
As a preacher, you have to be effective at showing someone how they can begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you have to do that in creative ways that connect with what people are going through, even people who maybe never have been to church before.
And this means understanding evangelism as a process. It means drawing the net from time to time. It means maximizing those big days when you have a lot of unbelievers there and asking for that decision. And that's outside the purview of what we're talking about today, but that's so important that you introduce unbelievers to a personal relationship with Christ and turn them into believers. So number one, unbelievers come into your church. Number two, attenders introduced to a relationship with Christ. But there's a third thing that has to take place for RTL to really happen.
And that is believers, new and mature alike, must be continually challenged to take the next step in their lifelong spiritual journey with Jesus.
Yeah, and that is a lifelong journey. And so most of the time, your preaching is about helping believers take the next step in their spiritual journey. Now, from a preaching standpoint, you can't do a lot in preaching to attract unbelievers to your church. That's usually done through personal evangelism. But, of course, having quality message series, having things that grab people's attention can help your people invite their friends in creative ways. But you are very responsible as a preacher for introducing the unchurched into a relationship with Christ, and then you're very responsible for helping believers take the next step in their spiritual journey.
So in your preaching, you need to be thinking about these three steps. You need to be thinking about how to bring believers in, and your attenders, introducing them into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and then believers, how do you encourage them to take the next step in their walk?
So with all of this happening, with preaching for radical, transformed lives, that means and that requires that you do advanced planning. And that's what we're going to talk about on the rest of this recording. Preaching that transforms lives requires advanced planning. And that's what we're going to spend the rest of this audio recording talking about, advanced planning. And this reminds me, Carrick, of one of my favorite quotes on preaching. Somebody told me early on in my preaching career that somebody pays the price for the sermon. The preacher will pay the price of advanced planning, or the people will pay the price of wasted time. And that's a pretty powerful quote in my mind.
You don't want people coming to your services dreading you standing up to give your message.
So let's talk about three advantages to planning your preaching in advance. Three reasons why you should plan. Some maybe you've thought of, some may be a little new, and some that will take your preaching to a whole new level. Here's number one.
Stress and anxiety are significantly reduced, and you become a better teacher when you do not have to come up with topics, sermons, and illustrations at the last minute, when you're not up till midnight on Saturday night trying to figure out what you're going to say on Sunday.
Yeah, and that's the first big advantage. It's a personal advantage. It lowers your stress level. It gives you more confidence as a teacher. It helps you plan in advance so you can maximize your content, so that you can maximize what you want to say. In other words, you don't have to be the king of wing anymore when you do advanced planning.
I think probably too many teachers today dread Sunday coming around because they're not prepared in advance.
Yeah, I've noticed that as we've gone to this new style of planning, generally by Thursday, I'm in pretty good shape for Sunday. Or for the weekend now, as the case is. And what I've noticed is that allows me to relax. It allows me to go into the weekend and our first service more with a feeling of preparedness, with a feeling of confidence that I have something to say because it's been planned in advance.
And I'm usually so relaxed on Sunday that I can sleep through your part of the message.
I've noticed that, and that certainly has relieved your stress and anxiety by me knowing what to preach in advance. So number one, stress and anxiety are reduced, and you become a better teacher. Here's number two, and this is something that's been new for me over the last few years, and that is it becomes possible to integrate other areas of your church in with the weekend services when you know what you're preaching on in advance. Carrie, put some feet on that.
One of the things that we've done at The Journey is incorporate our small group curriculum with the Sunday service. And the only way you can do that is if you're planning 6 months to a year in advance, when you know what you're going to teach on, and you can build a curriculum for your small groups that connects with the Sunday service. That's a powerful part of the church, when what you talk about on Sunday, your small groups are putting feet on and are experiencing during their groups.
Yeah, let me just make sure everybody understands what we're talking about here. We're integrating other areas of your church in with the Sunday message. You see, what we've seen is preaching not something that stands apart from the rest of the church, but something that promotes and is integrated with every other area of the church. And Carrick, at our church, not only are you a teaching pastor, but you also give leadership to our groups, and you and I have another CD on starting small groups from scratch. But in the small group area, let's just explain exactly what you just said to make sure everybody understands it. For example, last fall, we were going into a fall curriculum of our small groups on the Sermon on the Mount. We realized that as a church, all of our small groups last fall needed to study the Sermon on the Mount. So how did that affect our preaching?
Well, and this is interesting. We were able to use our teaching to promote our small groups because we were talking about the Sermon on the Mount every Sunday. And then what we talked about on Sunday would be the emphasis in the small groups, and they would have small group discussion around that around that those verses in that scripture. And so they would discuss what we talked about on Sunday. But because we talked about it on Sunday and said, hey, our small groups are going to be talking about this during the week, it built up a lot of excitement. And we had a lot of people join our small groups because they were integrated with our Sunday service.
Yeah, this kind of planning created a lot of synergy. And I remember that fall very vividly as being a time of extreme spiritual growth because we were talking about it on Sunday, they were studying it during the week, and then because we planned in advance, we also asked our members to write daily devotions that went with each portion of the Sermon on the Mount that we were talking about. So then you had a daily piece that all of our members were involved in and everybody was reading. You had a weekly piece of small group, and then we taught about it on the weekend. And that, for that 3-month period of time, really deepened the spiritual lives of those in our church.
And think about what Nelson just said. If you're going to give your members scripture to write devotions on that go with what you talk about on Sunday, that means you have to know the scripture that you're going to teach on at least 3 months in advance. And so that takes a lot of advanced planning.
Yeah, but how powerful that is when it's integrated. Now, that's on a big way. You know, we do that about every fall in our church. We try to have this integrated campaign of small groups and devotions and teaching. But then other times of the year, we have different emphases as well. For example, just recently, we tried to turn up the heat in our church on volunteerism. Now, you know all the ways you could do that. You could have your people on your staff, or you as a pastor could just ask people to volunteer. But because we knew in our preaching schedule that there was going to be a message on serving as ministry, then we were able to utilize that particular message to drive this whole volunteer emphasis. And so instead of having to do it just during the announcement time, which we've gotten rid of altogether anyway, we now are able to do what we call strategic concerns inside of the message. So as soon as we taught about the value of volunteering and serving, we were able to give people an immediate next step and get them to sign up to serve.
Why would you have a day where you really emphasized and pushed for new volunteers when you weren't teaching about it at the same time and telling them why it's important?
Yeah, same thing with other ideas, like when we're leading up to Easter. We know that Easter's coming, and we've planned our preaching so that a month or so out, we begin to talk about inviting your friends to Easter service because we know that Easter is going to be one of those big times that the unchurched is willing to come. So that's what planning your preaching does. It allows you to integrate the other areas of your church in with the weekend messages. But here's the third advantage to planning your preaching.
You can be more creative in worship and with promotion when you know which message series are coming in months in advance.
Yeah, and that amen you heard way off in the distance, that was our worship pastor and the whole worship arts team at our church saying amen to that. Because what we've learned is if we want to use the worship arts, we want to maximize our effectiveness in music and with dance and with drama and with spoken word and with visual arts, we have to give them advanced planning. You see, we found our dance team doesn't like to put together a dance on Sunday afternoon. I mean, that's just a little late for them. So we have to let them know in advance what we're teaching on. At the same time, we have to figure out how do you use dance, how do you use drama, how do you use music effectively in our services.
And we've developed a culture around the journey where our worship arts team expects messages to be ready in advance. They'll come and ask us, you know, we see what you're teaching on in a couple of months. Do you have an outline? Do you have verses? We want to integrate it more effectively.
Yeah, we talk a lot more about this on another CD called Creating Creative Worship Experiences. But you have to know in advance what you're preaching on. You don't have to know, you know, the detail and all the points or whatever, but you have to at least kind of know the general topic and whether or not that would work with the drama or whether or not there would be certain songs that might go in. And a lot of times people come to the journey and, you know, we're big on the creative arts and we'd like to use artistic expression in our services, and they'll see that and then they say, how do you do it? Well, one of the keys to doing that is advanced planning of your preaching. And later we're going to talk about how even in this planning process, Pastor, you don't do this alone.
At The Journey, we're in New York City. We're committed to planning our message lineup months in advance, even up to a year in advance for maximum life change. Why? Because we believe that the advanced planning and strategic placement of our future message series will lead directly to the maximum number of RTLs. That's radically transformed lives. Now, as we talked about the advantages here, Nelson, these three advantages, one thing we hear from a lot of people who don't like to plan their preaching in advance is, well, doesn't that take the Holy Spirit out of my preaching?
Well, the answer is yes. No, of course not. We don't, obviously don't believe that. You know, a lot of people have these weird conceptions about the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, like a lot of things in life, we blame the Holy Spirit for our lack of planning and let's just call it what it is, Pastor. Sometimes our laziness. And because we're lazy, we say, well, the Holy Spirit can't inspire you till you get up. Early on, I had a little cartoon above my desk for many years, Carrick. It was this guy stepping into a pulpit and he's opening up his message notes. And above it, he's praying just silently in his mind, Lord, you blessed this when Spurgeon preached it. Bless it today. And sometimes we've had these weird things about preaching that, you know, you can use something old or you have to wait till the last minute. But here's the reality.
The reality is that God and the Holy Spirit can bless you and work through you a month in advance as much as he can that day.
Yeah, and what we found is when we pray and seek God's will months in advance, even if we don't understand it, that God comes through and honors that. Let me tell you the flip side of that. When we've changed at the last minute, we've always regretted it. We like to seek God, plan our calendar, and trust the Spirit. Let me give you a great example from a year or so ago when the war in Iraq broke out. Carrick and I have been praying about our preaching calendar and leading up to Easter in the period of Lent. And yeah, as creative as we are and as innovative, we still practice some of these seasonal disciplines of the calendar. So we had planned a Lenten series called The Path to Peace in the City. And we had no idea that there was a war in Iraq brewing. This was months in advance. But on the very day that we introduced the message series based on the Lord's Prayer, The Path to Peace in the City, the war in Iraq broke out.
Now, I want you to think about this. If you plan your message series in advance, what you're doing is you're giving the Holy Spirit a greater opportunity to work in your preparation over those months than if you wait to the very last minute and then ask the Holy Spirit to bless you at the very last second. Give God a bigger opportunity to bless your teaching and your preaching by planning in advance.
And that makes your planning an issue of faith, and God uses faith to grow each of us. So that's some of the advantages of preaching. One last quick advantage of planning your preaching is that it also allows you to balance your preaching around the five purposes. Now, we're a purpose-driven church. We've built on that. We've learned a lot from Rick Warren. Now, a lot of people look at our church and say, you look nothing like Saddleback, but our back end runs a lot like Saddleback. We try to balance our preaching around the five purposes of worship, evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, and ministry. And here's all I want to say on that.
Well, and Nelson, I know you enough to know that if you had to plan messages on Saturday night the day before, you would preach on evangelism every Sunday.
Yeah, because I'm passionate about evangelism. So here's the big point on balancing your preaching by advanced planning. Unless you have an intentional plan to balance your preaching, you will tend to preach on the purpose you're most passionate about. So those are some of the advantages of planning your preaching. Now we're ready to begin actually planning our preaching and putting our preaching on the calendar. So here's the first thing I want you to do. Examine your calendar. Now, it's been said that pastors are the world's worst planners, that the only time we think about the next month is when we turn the day timer over to the next month. But we're going to have to break that habit. And so here's what I want you to do, Pastor. I want you to get out a sheet of paper along the left-hand side, write down, skipping a few spaces in between, January, February, March, and do that all the way through December. And whatever year you're doing this, if you're at the beginning of the year or the middle of the year, whatever, just write out the next year and go ahead and make sure you have a full year. So if you're doing this in June, do June to December, and then the whole next year of January to December. Just wherever you are, make sure you get an entire year written down in your paper, because you've got to now begin to examine your calendar. Now on your calendar, list the two biggest Christian holidays. And of course, one of those is easy because it's Christmas, and Christmas never changes. So it's always in December. So go ahead and put Christmas down on December 25th. But the second holiday that I want you to put on your calendar, which is the most important when it comes to planning your preaching, is Easter. Now, I didn't grow up in church, and my family often missed Easter because it changed every year. And my family, try as hard as they might, they kind of missed Easter many times growing up because it always changes. So you may have to, you know, do a little planning, look in your day timer, go online, and figure out when Easter is for whatever month, for whatever year you're planning your calendar for, because it does tend to shift. Now, ideally, from a preaching standpoint, you want an early Easter. That actually helps you maximize your preaching calendar. But wherever it is, go ahead and put it on your calendar of January to December. Put down Christmas in December. Put Easter in there. Because now what we're going to do is walk you through three questions that you need to ask so that you understand the ebbs and flow of your calendar year, because this is so important when it comes to planning your preaching, as we will continue to explain. So, Carrick, what do we need to ask first?
The first question is this. At what times of the year is my church best able to reach new and unchurched people?
Yeah, when does your church attract the unchurched just naturally? When do you have this influx of new people? Now, if you're pastoring a smaller church of less than 125, you know, an influx of new people, maybe four or five visitors. I mean, that's just the reality of where we are. If you're pastoring churches that are larger than that, you may be able to look back at your growth and see that there's certain times of the year where you're best able to reach new people. Now, there are three times in general that churches are able to reach new people, and then we're going to talk about how it works for us here in New York. Generally, after the first of the year is a time to reach new people. Now, it may not be the second week in January or even the third week in January, but sometime after the first of the year, people are not traveling as much, their credit cards are maxed out from Christmas, they're thinking about New Year's resolutions, they begin to check out church again. And so you've got these new people coming in second, third, fourth week of January or even in early February.
And it's too cold to go and do anything outside, so they think, I'll go to church.
Yeah, in most areas of the country, that's true. The second thing that's true about your church is after the new school year. That's generally a good time to reach new people. Again, people are coming off summer vacation. They're getting back into their routine. Kids are in school. Now, in a lot of areas of the country, school starts pretty early. It's now starting in August. So you need to find this out. Call your school board, look it up online, and put that date on your calendar of when school begins, because a week or two or three after that new school year date, you're going to start seeing new people come into your church. It just naturally happens.
And if your church is in a college city or town, then you're going to have an influx of new college students coming as well.
Yeah, and that can bring a lot of energy into your church. And then the last time is the one you've already got on your calendar, and that, of course, is Easter and Christmas. Technically, I'm more partial to Easter as a time to reach the unchurched, because it generally is a time where you reach people in the community, whereas Christmas, a lot of time, you reach extended family who travel in from great distances, and then you have that down period after Christmas, so it makes it hard to reach new people. But Easter, highlighted on your calendar, is one of the best times to reach new unchurched people.
If there's an individual who has never been to church or who has no intention of ever going to church, the one day of the year that they are most likely to accept an invitation to go to church is on Easter Sunday.
And let me talk about, we're going to talk about this a little bit more, but let me go ahead and say this now. On Easter, you should always begin a brand new teaching series with a high felt need. We're going to talk about those felt needs later, but a lot of people like to do a standalone message. I even heard of some churches that end a series on Easter. Instead, you want to begin a series on Easter in order to keep those new people. We'll talk about that more in just a few minutes. So those are some questions. Now, here in New York, let me just tell you how this works for us. We have a big influx of people in February. We didn't know that. We didn't really expect that. But again, for those reasons we mentioned earlier, at the beginning of the year, we began to attract people in February.
That was, February is the second month of the year when we have the most rentals in the city. New people are moving in at an extraordinary rate at the beginning of the new year. And so we were surprised the first time, but we see that every year, new people coming to our church.
So you better believe that February is a key time in our church when it comes to planning our preaching. Second time is in the fall. Now, we talked about finding when new school starts. Here in New York, things start a little later than they do. School doesn't generally start back until after Labor Day. Now, I wish it started earlier so we could have a longer season in the fall, but September is another time of high influx of new people.
And for us, right after Labor Day, we see our first-time visitors. That total rises, and it's a lot of excitement as new people come into the church.
And then the third best time for us in reaching new people is over the summer. We really didn't expect this because our attendance is kind of flat over the summer because our members are traveling a lot and they're going on vacation. But because it's summer, we have a lot of new people moving into the community. So you don't see a spike in attendance, but you do see a spike in first and second time guests over the summer. So we keep that in mind as well in planning our calendar. So if you looked at our calendar, highlighted areas would include February, September, and over the summer. For you, sometime after the first new school year and around Easter. But there may be another time in your area where you're best able to reach new people.
Right. We live in New York City, and so this is our calendar. As Nelson said earlier, look at your calendar. What times do you see an influx of new people into your community that could lead to unchurched people coming to your church?
Yeah, if you're in a tourist season, a tourist area for whatever, you may see a big spike in your attendance over the summer, but it may not necessarily be people you can reach. So what you may have is all these snowbirds coming in October or November, and that becomes a key time for you because snowbirds are coming into your area and you're trying to reach them. Or you may have a big retirement, and there's certain times of the year that people retire, and so you look at that. But track those numbers, look back over the course of a few years, years at your church, ask number one, at what times of the year is my church best able to reach new people, and examine your calendar. As you continue to examine your calendar, you want to ask a second question.
The second question is this: at what times of the year does my church have the highest and steadiest attendance?
In other words, where does it not fluctuate? Where do you kind of maintain momentum that you have? This should be pretty easy to track. And for most of us, it's that period of the spring, say from February into May, and it's that period in the fall, say September to November. And so just put this on there, because you've got new people coming in. You're going to keep those people. People are not traveling as much. People are in their routines. They're staying around. So this just helps you know what to do, because when you overlay this with the times you're able to reach new people, this tells you what you need to be doing on certain times of the year, as we're going to show you a little bit later.
Right. So you can expect during certain times of the year that people will be coming regularly and your attendance will stay steadily high. And for us, it is those months in the spring and those months in the fall. But look at your calendar. When and where do people stay coming to your church and the attendance stays steady?
Yeah, they're more likely to come week to week because of certain natural flows of the calendar. Here's number three. At what time of the year does my Sunday attendance or my weekend attendance fluctuate the most? Where is it the most unpredictable? Where do you see the big dives in your calendar? Here we're mainly talking about low peaks, not high peaks. We're talking about decreases, not increases. But where does the time of year that you just fluctuate? Maybe for you it's July. Maybe you're in a town and, man, everybody takes vacation in July, so you can't predict week to week what July. And you've got those preacher blues. You know what the preacher blues are? You feel down because your Sunday attendance was down. Holiday weekends are generally like that, like Thanksgiving weekend is a big one. July 4th, if it falls near a Saturday or Sunday, can be a big low point for you.
Do you remember our first year in New York? We thought Christmas was going to be a big weekend for us, and so we did a lot of planning, a lot of promotion for a big Christmas Sunday service. And what happened?
We had a handful of people show up, because that's when we discovered that about 19 out of 20 people in Manhattan are not from Manhattan. So they all went home on Christmas weekend. So we took Christmas off the calendar as a time when we were really able to reach people. Now, for you, it might be just the opposite. But knowing this information is key. It's key to planning your vacation, because guess what, preacher? You should be gone on those lowest Sundays. So if Memorial Day weekend's a low Sunday for you, take that weekend off. Other parts of the country, because of the nature of the community, Labor Day weekend or Memorial Day weekend may be really high days for you. But understand that when it comes to your preaching, because the last thing you want to do is kick off a big message series on the lowest attended day of the year. So it starts by examining your calendar, and this is going to take some time. But now you're going to begin to see some trends that are going to help you in planning your preaching. And the next thing we want to talk about relates to your calendar, because it's about planning message series. So here's step number two, and that is to consider several message series. Step number one is to examine your calendar. Step number two is now to decide what message series you're going to teach as it relates to those different key times in your church year. Now, this idea of preaching a message series may be something new to you. And so we want to talk just a moment about what makes an effective message series. Well, what we found is a message series is generally a series of messages that are taught for 4 to 6 weeks around the same topic, around the same theme, or around a select passage of Scripture.
And it's important that we think it's important that you teach with message series, because you can really focus in on a topic and you can really get the attention of people. And if a first-timer comes at the beginning of a series, they're more than likely to come back because they want to see how the series progresses.
Yeah, it stabilizes your attendance. It lets people know what to expect. It also takes some of the last-minute Saturday night stuff out of your calendar, because you've got to know in advance what you're doing. So think about your calendar and your preaching calendar as being a series of message series. So you've got some 4-part series, maybe a 5 or 6-part series. In some parts, you might even be able to stretch it to a 7-part, but 7 or 8 would be the absolute maximum length of a particular series. But a message series allows you to do advanced planning. It allows you to do creative element. It allows you to give a visual look to that. It also lets your people know what's coming up. Now, a lot of people say, well, when I think message series, that must mean topical preaching. But that's not the case at all. As a matter of fact, at The Journey, we use message series even if we're doing a verse-by-verse series. For example, just recently, we did a whole message series based on Philippians chapter 2. Now, some people say, well, maybe you should have done the whole book of Philippians. Well, maybe we should have. But in this case, we felt like for our purposes, we wanted to just focus on Philippians chapter 2. So we did a five-part series just on Philippians chapter 2.
And we've done series on the Lord's Prayer. We've done series on the Sermon on the Mount and other passages of Scripture as well.
Yeah, we even did a six-part series on the book of James. And we went verse by verse through the book of James, looking at it from the perspective of how that affects your work life. Now, so don't just think a message series has to be topical. There's several different types of message series you can do. You can do a topical series. You can do a scriptural study series. We did a scriptural study series one time where we looked at the heart verses of the Bible. And we taught around the topic of enlarging my heart. We actually did that at Christmas one time, and we did it around the topic of the Grinch. It was kind of the title of that. So you can have all kinds of different message series as part of that. You can even link together series if you want to teach the whole book of the Bible. But a series has a title, it has a start and an end time, it has messages that are centered around a particular theme inside of it, and then beyond that, you can go in any direction that you want. Just contact us either online or at the phone number on the CD, and you can see the message titles that we've done, and you maybe want to pick up one or two to get a feel of how that planning takes place.
And it's a lot of fun to do. It adds a lot of fun when you can pick a topic or you can take a passage of Scripture and you can go with that for a month or for five or six Sundays in a row, and it makes it more creative.
Yeah, it really does. And we've talked about that on another CD called Creating Creative Worship Experiences that I mentioned earlier. So our point here in talking about series is not to go into the intricacies of how to plan a particular message series. Instead, what we want to give you is three broad types of message series. Because now that you have your calendar, there are certain series that work in certain times of the year better than at other times of the year. For example, you remember that we asked you to put on your calendar those periods of time that you were best able to reach new people. At that particular time, you want to do a message series based on attracting people. We call it an attract message series. It's a series that's going to attract the unchurch, a series that's going to keep the unchurch coming to your services.
And you might be thinking, you know, you might not be understanding what we're talking about right now, but I want you to think back to that analogy of baseball we talked about earlier. And if you think about a baseball lineup where the hitters have nine hitters, one through nine, there are different types of hitters in the lineup. If you think about it, the first three hitters on a baseball team are important because those are the guys who have to get on base. The first three batters on your baseball team have to have a high batting average. They have to get on base so that they can score runs. If you think about it also, the fourth through sixth hitters, those are the guys with the big bats. They may not have a huge, a really high batting average, but they hit a lot of home runs. They drive in the runs. They score the runners who get on base. And then you think about the seven through nine hitters, and you think, well, those guys, they're not the best hitters on the team, and you're right, but they bring a lot of balance to the team. They're good defensive players. They know how to bunt. They are timely hitters. So you have different types of hitters on your baseball team because it's important, and it's important where you place them in the lineup. And in the same way, you have different types of message series, and it's important where you place them on your calendar. And this first one, you want to place those message series that attract people at the times when you have the most new people coming in, because as we said earlier, you've got to get people on base if you want to radically transform their life.
And that's a great analogy to planning. So the first type of series is attraction series, and that's kind of like the first three batters in your lineup. Now, let me give you an example of how that works here at The Journey. You heard me say earlier that one of our key growth times is February. Well, what we do in February is we do a high attraction series around a topic that people are very, very interested in, or around a passage of Scripture that people are very, very interested in.
And what's a topic that people are very, very interested in, Nelson?
Well, here in our city, where we have so many singles or so many young adults, where the average age of our church is in the high 20s, there's one topic that everybody's interested in, and that's the issue of sex. And so, generally speaking, in February, we do a sex series. Now, you know, we did a series last year called Sex in the City. We have another one coming up this year around that topic. But in this issue, we talk about what God says about sex. And you know, we talk about how to deal with temptation. We talk about adultery. We talk about sex outside of marriage. We talk about dealing with hormones, all that kind of stuff. But guess what? That's a high attraction series, and it keeps those new people coming back week to week because of what you had to say. But now, don't think we water it down because it's an attraction series. We don't. We give the basic biblical truths, but we let people know that that's what we're going to teach on for the next 5 or 6 weeks.
That's right. Last February, I wanted to do a series on propitiation and sanctification. But, you know, that doesn't really attract people who've never been to church before.
Yeah, so look at those times of year and have attraction. After Easter one year, or on Easter one year, we actually kicked off a whole series about having living biblical values in the workplace. We called it Work Matters, and it was actually a study of the book of James. Well, we started that on Easter by talking about where do you get the power that you need to survive in your everyday life. Well, we tied that in with the resurrection, and then we spent the next 6 weeks dealing with workplace issues related to that.
And why did we do that? Because people in New York City, 99% of them are stressed out at their work, and they want to find meaning in their work. They want to find balance in their work. And because of that, we had a lot of people come to the church for the very first time because they wanted their work to matter.
Yeah, so you look at those times of the year, Easter, you look at the time after the holiday in January, and then you look at the time when school starts. Like if I were in most parts of the country, when school started, I would do a relationship series, a series on marriage or children or raising a family. Those are attraction type series. That's the first type of message series.
And remember, the purpose of the attraction series is to get people to come to your church and to get them on base. That's the whole key. Like the first three batters in the baseball lineup, they want to get on base so they can score later on. An attraction series, you want to get new people into your church and get them on base so that their lives can be transformed.
Here's the second type of series, and that is what we would call a growth series. And that is a series that is specifically designed to grow believers. Now, unbelievers can come to this, and you'll have a lot doing that. And I tell people when I'm doing a growth series, if you're an unbeliever, you're going to see what it's really like to be a Christian. We're going to show you exactly what it means to follow Christ. But the purpose of this series primarily is to grow. And, Carrick, when do you do this type of series?
You do this type of series during the times of year when your attendance is the highest and the steadiest over a series of months.
Yeah, so that would be like February through May. Maybe if you have an early Easter, you kick off a high attraction series at Easter, then you go into a growth series to finish out the year. It could also be like an October, November. You know, a lot of us have benefited from these 40-day studies, whether you know, 40 days of purpose or 40 days of community. Well, those are generally growth series. They have an attraction element to them, but they're designed to grow people in their faith, and they're great for those falls of the year when you're really trying to grow people.
And going back to our baseball analogy, these are your four, five, and six hitters in your lineup. Remember, you did an attraction series previously. You've got new, unchurched, non-Christians on base in your church. They're there. This series are the four, five, and six hitters that knock in the runs. These are the series where you see the most radically transformed lives. You see lives changed, people coming to Christ, people getting rid of big sins in their life. This is the series where you've already gotten people on base, but you begin to dig in deeper and you begin to bring them home.
Yeah, one last illustration of how a growth series works for us. Let's say you're dealing with a year that has a late Easter. Let's say it's in the middle of April. So you do a big attraction series in February, but then you've got March and most of April, and I would use that as a growth period. What we've done at The Journey when that's happened is we've actually studied topics like the Lord's Prayer or the Apostles' Creed in that growth series. Now, what that does is those new people you reached in February, it grows them, and then you're also growing your people, but then you can also use that growth series to build up toward Easter when you kick off your next attraction series. And that can work well. So you begin to put these message series together, attraction series, then a growth series, and you may have a period of time where you do another attraction series, or you may have a downtime, and that's when you would do the third type of message series, which we call a balance series.
Remember, the 7, 8, and 9 hitters in a baseball lineup are usually not the strongest hitters on the team, but they bring a lot of balance. They have a lot of intangibles. In your message series, there are series that you need to have to address topics that you haven't hit during other times of the year. Remember, Nelson talked earlier about balancing the five purposes in your teaching. A lot of times you'll get to a certain time of the year and you'll realize, you know, I haven't talked about evangelism at all. I haven't talked about growth at all. And I need to have a series to bring balance to my overall year calendar.
Yeah, generally a great time to do that is at the early part of December, because you're just going to have your home folks maybe until you get into that attraction period in late January or whenever, so you can bring balance to your calendar. Other time are special holiday deals, maybe in July when a lot of people are traveling as part of that. Maybe you do a balance series there and you deal with a topic that people are interested in and that is necessary, but it's not necessarily your big attraction. So some of the things we've done on that is we did a series one time on unanswered prayer. That brought some balance because it wasn't something we've done. We also did a series on eternity. I talked about heaven and hell for a while because that just brought balance to the equation. Because over the course of that year, we hadn't had an opportunity to say much about those subjects, but we knew we needed to do that.
And it's during these times of year when you're your attendance is going up and down, that you do a balance series that maybe the messages don't necessarily connect completely. For instance, we've done a Hot Topics message series during a time when we knew people weren't going to be there necessarily every week because they might be traveling a lot. And we hit a lot of hot topics such as sex, unanswered prayer, heaven and hell, a war.
Yeah, and what that does is, this is going back to your calendar. This is the time of year where it fluctuates. And when you have that fluctuation in your calendar, that's a great time to do a balance series. It's also a great time to bring in guest speakers who may bring a different voice or may bring a little different twist. Like, for example, on Memorial Day last year, we brought in a guest speaker who's one of the best guys I know on dealing with very contemporary topics. I mean, he can say things about what's happening in the world or what's happening in political issues in a way that undergirds that in the scripture. Well, Carrick nor I are really strong in that area. So he brought some balance to that and was able to deal with some issues with that. At other time, we brought in what we call a master teacher. And we brought in the master teacher, and that person has just dealt with maybe some issues in the Old Testament or some issues in the New Testament that are maybe a little deeper than we normally go on other ways, just because we tend to do deep areas of the Christian faith versus like the deep areas of the intricacies of Scripture and Greek or whatever. But that was a great time to bring somebody in like that. I hope that makes sense. A little random there. But the balance series are so key because it helps bring balance to your overall attraction series. High times when you're reaching new people. Growth series, those times when your calendar is the steadiest. And then balance series, use those in the time when your calendar fluctuates. Put those on your calendar, and your calendar will begin to take shape around these message series.
And why is this so important? Well, there's a reason. If you're a manager of a baseball team, there's a reason why you set your order in a certain way. And that is to produce the highest number of RBIs, runs batted in. And if you set your message lineup this way, with attraction series, with growth series, with balance series, and you place those at the right time in the calendar, you will produce the maximum number of RTLs, or radically transformed lives, in your church.
One last thing on message series is, titles are important. What you call a series is important. You may be doing a series on Philippians chapter 2, or you may be doing a series on, you know, Daniel 6 or whatever, but you may want to have a title that would be important that people could share no matter what message series it has. And let me just let you in on what we do here at The Journey, and that is, we strategically borrow titles from other people. You know, we go to pastors.com, we look at what Rick is teaching. We go to Fellowship Church, and we look at what Ed is teaching down there. We look at what Willow is teaching.
You're giving away all of our secrets.
Well, we are giving away all of our secrets. We already did this on another CD on that. But then we have other guys that we talk with, and we share message titles. For example, what I would do is, I would call our office, the number on this CD, and ask for a listing of our sermon series. And we only have, you know, 8 or 10 listed on there because they're the only decent ones we've preached over the last few years. But, you know, you can use some of our titles. You can even use some of our series that we've done and purchase those. Look, you know, you're not plagiarizing when you do that, because by purchasing those series, you're getting permission to use the titles and to use some of the research that's already been done by other pastors. And so we're always on the lookout for a good message title or a good breakdown. The other thing you can do on titles is, you can play off of cultural things. For example, like the Da Vinci Code. As we're recording this, it's been a bestseller for a number of years. Well, you might, you know, do a whole series on the Da Vinci Code and talk about the life of Christ. Or I know one church, they call it the Divinity Code. And it looked like the Da Vinci Code, but it did that. We all always will take something from culture and sort of baptize it and use it to make a message series.
I guess the question would be, do you want to necessarily be completely original every week, or do you want to be relevant?
Yeah, and that reminds me of the guy who said he was going to be original or nothing, and he was both. And so don't worry about borrowing. It's all part of God's kingdom.
Step 3 to planning your preaching is to prayerfully set your calendar. Remember, step 1 is to examine your calendar. Step 2 is to consider several message series. And step 3 is to prayerfully set your calendar.
Look, preaching is a spiritual adventure. And you want to seek now God's wisdom on that. Now, hopefully you've been praying all along, praying over your calendar, praying over these message series. But now you may have more message series than you can possibly preach next year. That happens with us every year. There's always more things we want to deal with than we have time to deal with in the calendar. There's also time we need to spend in prayer. Like, for example, we're big believers in fasting at our church, and because fasting and prayer go together. And Carrick and I, we did another CD on fasting for spiritual breakthrough. But now that you have some ideas on your wall or on your paper, spend some time over the next week, next 2 weeks, praying over that calendar, fasting, and making sure that you've got God's will on this thing. And then once you know that that's the series you need to do on Easter, put it down in ink and don't change it. Trust that God is going to lead you on this, because again, this is a spiritual adventure that you're involved in, and it requires spiritual connection.
And maybe the best time to set your calendar for the next year is when you're able to get away, maybe with your team, and spend a lot of time in prayer together. But don't leave God out of this important step of setting your calendar for the next year.
Yeah, I mean, I know we've used baseball analogies, and we've talked about, you know, just strategic things that anybody could use that are just good strategies, good business planning or whatever. But we really do believe that preaching is a prayerful endeavor. And so spend time praying over that. Don't neglect this step. Don't just think, well, somebody else is doing it on Easter, so I need to do that on Easter. Or, well, you know, those guys at the Journey, they did this series in January. I'm going to do this series in January. That may not work for you. Every church is unique. Every community is unique. Every calendar is unique. But God knows what's going to happen over that next year in your church and what He wants to accomplish to help the people of your church become like Christ, and so that you can maximize RTLs in your church.
Well, thinking about that, what are some of the biggest pitfalls that we can run into as we're prayerfully setting our message calendars?
Yeah, well, I call these maybe preaching temptations, if you will, when it comes to planning your calendar. And temptation number one is to wait till the last minute. You know, January's coming around, and you've promised your worship pastor and some other guys on your staff, or you promised that you were going to be ready for that big ad that's going to hit around Easter, and so you just wait to the last minute. You've got to get out ahead of this thing. As we're recording this, it's actually December of the year. We already know what the first half of next year is going to look like. We've known that for about 6 weeks. Now, we don't always know the specific titles of the message. We don't always know the outlines, but we at least know the message series and the general theme of each of those series. And so we get out ahead of the overall planning. But then a month ahead of time, we generally will know the actual topic and the actual theme that we're going to preach on.
Yeah, think about that. That takes a lot of work and a lot of discipline at the very beginning to get ahead of the game. And maybe if you haven't been doing this before, it will take a lot of discipline on your part right now. But think about the trouble, the hard work, and the stress it saves you the week before it's time to preach.
Yeah, and that's one of the advantages that we talked about earlier of getting out ahead. So avoid the temptation to wait to the last minute. Here's a big one. Avoid this temptation, and that is to plan your preaching alone. You know, we have this old idea that the preacher is to go into the inner sanctum of the church and they're to spend time connecting with God. And then once they do that, the God will speak to them, and then the holy man comes off of Mount Sinai with the message series that he's going to preach next year.
And because we're tight on space, that would be the bathroom at the Journey.
Well, it is. Yeah, we have a lot of space here. And I do some of my best preaching in that room, or planning, I should say, in that room. Maybe some preaching too. I don't know. But don't plan alone. You know, get somebody else you trust. Like Eric and I, we plan together. We have another guy now who's part of our teaching team. But then we also bring in some creative types. Now, they don't have to be a part of the entire process. But once you begin to get some ideas down, like let's say you know you're going to do a series on Daniel chapter 6, bring some of these creative people around you and help them get their help on what the title of that series should be. Get their help on the topics. Get some lay people involved in this. Just avoid that temptation.
Yeah, put some white – what we do, we'll put white paper up on the wall, and we'll get markers, and no idea is too dumb. We'll put them down, and Nelson, you can attest, I have some pretty stupid ideas, and so it's good to have other people in there, but no idea is too dumb. Write them up on the wall, and let God work through your team, not just through you.
Yeah, and again, we talked about this on other CDs, but don't plan your preaching alone. And then here's temptation number three. We hinted at this temptation earlier, but let me give it to you again. And that is, once you've looked at your calendar, once you've considered several message series, once you've got God's will on that calendar, resist the temptation to change what has been planned. Now, this is every pastor's temptation. You think you've got the greatest series in the world, but then the week before you begin to get some doubts, or you begin to say, or, you know, you get a phone call and somebody's dealing with an issue, and you think, well, I should preach on that issue that particular week, and we're all kind of driven by the urgent sometimes. Resist that. If you plan properly, trust that God knows that's exactly the message that you need to preach. And I'll say it again, every time at the Journey that we've changed the message at the last minute, we've regretted it.
Remember, God put that message series or that particular message in your heart for a reason. And a lot of times Satan will try to trip you up at the end by putting in doubt, saying, no, God really didn't speak to you. There's something better here. It might be easier. Stay with what you heard God say the first time.
And that's why prayerfully setting your calendar is so important. So that's a process that you can use to plan your preaching. Let's review just real quickly what we talked about on this audio recording. We've talked about the purpose of a Christian is to become like Christ. And so the purpose of preaching is to help people become like Christ. And you do that by preaching for radical life transformation. Not just preaching that gives information, but preaching that transforms. And then you measure the effectiveness of your preaching by how many lives are transformed, or by what we call RTLs. To do that, you need three things to take place. Number one, unbelievers coming to your church. Number two, attenders introduced to a personal relationship. And number three, believers continually challenged to take the next step in their journey. And that all of that requires advanced planning. And then we walked you through some of the advantages of advanced planning. Your stress level goes down. You're able to integrate other areas of your church into the weekend services. You become more creative in your planning. It allows you to get in touch with the Holy Spirit in advance, and it allows you to balance your preaching around the five purposes. And then we just completed the heart of this recording, which is the three steps to planning your preaching: examining your calendar, considering message series, and then prayerfully setting your calendar. As we wrap up, we just want to give you some final thoughts about this issue of preaching. Because, Carrie, you and I are practitioners. I mean, we're doing this every week, week after week, up in front of people, while trying to grow a church, while trying to manage a church, while trying to lead a church. And one of the things that we've learned when it comes to preaching is that you must never stop growing in the area of communication. You must always be striving to be a better communicator.
You're never as good as you can be. And especially in this area of communication, you can always be better. And there are a lot of different ways that you can improve.
Yeah, I would say the first thing that you should do is listen to yourself preaching. And I know I hear the collective groan coming out from our audience as they say that, oh, man, none of us like to hear ourselves on tape or on CD. But you have to go back and you have to listen to yourself. And you have to say, how can I improve? Maybe you're using you knows or us, or maybe it just wasn't as tight, or maybe what it sounded like in your mind, it didn't come out of your mouth sounding like that. But you have to keep improving.
And sometimes if you film your preaching, sometimes it's good to look at the video and look at your hand motions and gestures. Maybe you pace too much. I mean, other things like that affect your communication as well.
Yeah, and just a time of confession here. Some of you know in my life, as a child, I actually had a speech impediment. And, you know, now I've been in this thing called preaching for 13 years, and I find it kind of ironic that God would take a kid who had a speech impediment and use that person as a preacher week to week. But we've also, Carrie, you and I both have gone to speech therapy to learn to deal with some of the communication hangups that we have. And man, that took a lot of humility on our part. I remember going in there thinking, you know, I've been preaching for 10 years, and now I'm going to speech therapy. But it helps. You have to improve.
Right. And another thing that you can do is listen to other preachers that have the same style as you and pick up what they're doing that's good and listen to them over and over again.
Yeah, as a preacher, you're probably naturally an auditory learner. I mean, that's why we do these kind of recordings, because as preachers, we generally are people who love words. We love to listen to others. That's why we're involved in preaching. And so what you want to have is the regular diet of other preachers that you relate to. I have some guys that I relate to. Now, their style may be slightly different than mine. They may be in churches that are even very different than mine. But I can learn from them. I can listen to how they do transitions. I can listen to how they tell stories. I can listen to how they raise the emotional level as well as lower the emotional level. But, you know, just pick this. Go to crosswalk.com or some of those other audio sites, and you can get this kind of stuff for free. Or get on a subscription list. You know, if you relate to Rick Warren, get on his subscription list. If you relate to Bill Hybels, get that, or Andy Stanley, or, you know, whoever the others might be. Like here in our city, I think of A.R. Bernard, you know, and other guys around the country or around the world who you relate to, and have a steady diet of these preachers. And don't just listen to them for the content, but listen to the organization of the message and the communication strategy behind it.
And then also, you shouldn't plan your preaching alone. We mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, get a team of people around you. And that team becomes very important for this reason, because you need to develop a feedback system around your preaching. Again, I hear the collective groan of people out there. If you're in a church that's gotten large enough to where you're doing multiple services, then one of the things you can do is put feedback, real-time feedback, between the messages. For example, at The Journey, we currently do four services. And so after the first service, we have a team of people that pull together and give us feedback about our preaching.
That's right. And being on that team, I mean, you can't have a big ego. And you have to be willing to listen to criticism, because if you want to get better, you've got to hear what other people hear when you teach.
Yeah, I read in some portion of the Old Testament one time about in there's wisdom in the counsel of many. And so you develop this feedback system. Now, if you're only doing one service, again, as you watch that video or listen to that recording, ask other people to give you feedback and to point out things that would help you improve your preaching. Look, if you really believe that preaching is for life transformation and that God is working through your preaching, you'll do whatever it takes to raise the value of preaching and increase your communication ability. And then finally, here's the last thing that I would say to all of us, and that is, if you learn something good about preaching, share it with other preachers.
And share it with us.
Yeah, share it with us. I mean, that's the heart of what this recording is about. And what really Carrick and I are trying to do here is just to return to you some things that we've learned. Look, we're in this together. I mean, you come and hear us and you say, man, you know, should these guys even be talking about preaching? But we're just learning. We're just absorbing things about preaching. We're playing with calendars. We're innovating certain areas. We're involving other people and other teams and developing systems. And then we're sharing that back with you. Well, if you learn something good about preaching, share that with other preachers. You hear a good quote, share it. You read a good book, share it. You found somebody who's really connects with your community, then share that with others. And let's create this learning system so that the water level of preaching quality raises, and in doing that, it's going to raise all churches around the nation.
Because the more radically transformed lives we see, no matter if it's in our church or your church, means that we're all winning.
Yeah, that's right. That speech therapy thing coming in there. See, we just leave the warts and all on the recording for you. But let's develop a culture where we're preaching together, we're growing together, and we're impacting God's kingdom together. And that's really what this is all about. This has been an intro to this idea of planning a one-year preaching calendar. We actually do a half-day seminar here in New York and other places around the country on this, which I would invite you to come to sometime. And you can find more information on that by looking at the website or calling the phone number that's on the front of this CD. But we're in this together. So thank you for purchasing this resource. Thank you for your commitment to become a better preacher. I'll pray with you. You pray with me. And let's pray that life transformation happens all over the country and all over the world on this coming weekend as we all step up to preach. For more information, just feel free to give us a call at 1-800-264-5129.